My dear friends, this is Pastor Page. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to take this opportunity to speak with you about a very important matter, a matter that faces Christianity, and each of us who are ministers of the gospel will be called to deal with it. This is the matter of Christianity being misrepresented by those who claim to be the ministers of Jesus Christ. I call your attention to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin reading in 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. This is a telling section of Scripture, my friends, because herein Peter, who even speaks of his demise or his decease, tells them about the importance of holding true to the Word of God. And he lets them know that this which they have received, that which Peter and the apostles had testified and preached, was not from some cunningly devised fables, but that it was truly true, that they were eyewitnesses to those things that they declared to those that they preached to. Now, there are those today who would call themselves ministers and high-powered people in Christianity, but who will question the validity of the Word of God. They will question the veracity of the Word of God, the truthfulness of the Word of God. It is so important that those of us who will stand true to the Lord's word, will not allow those who do not stand true to it to in any way cause us to move from our position of believing the word of God. If you are particularly a young person in the ministry, someone not well educated, you are at risk, I believe, of possibly being misguided by someone who does not really believe the word of God. Thus, I call you to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen again to verse 16. Peter says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter is saying, we did not make this up. This is not some cunningly devised fable. We were there. We were eyewitnesses. These writings in this Holy Bible, these people were eyewitnesses. And those who were not got it from people who were eyewitnesses. And so Peter, possibly contemplating his decease, apparently wanted to make sure that he reiterated to them, "This which we have preached unto you is truth. We did not make it up. These are not cunningly devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses." This is the kind of testimony that ought to stand up in any court of man. And of course, coming from a man of God, it ought to stand up. Peter goes on in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 1 to say, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." So Peter is saying again, we saw and we heard the voice. We were with him in the holy mount, and we heard the voice which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So Peter says, we were eyewitnesses, we were there, we saw, and we heard. He goes on now in verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 19, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now that's 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21. And so Peter is saying, we saw, but he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. So he refers to the prophets, the holy men of God who wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now this, my friends, lets us know that we can't just change the word of God. God's word is complete. He has transmitted to us his holy word in the Holy Bible. We are not to add to it. We are not to take away from it. But it was written by people to whom God gave the experiences and the commands to write what he wanted written. And so today, if a man or a woman says, well, the Bible says that, but this is a new time. No, this is a time to believe the word. We do understand that there are transitions from the Old Testament to the New Testament in terms of how God's economy was meant to be. And he meant for certain things in the Old Testament to show forth that in the New, and for the New Testament to reveal or enlighten some things from the Old Testament and really look back to the Old Testament in many ways. And yet we are not to add to it anything, and we are not to take away from it anything. So I want to say to those of you who are struggling with those who may be over you, those who may be teaching you, or the books that you may be studying that are trying to get you off track from the Word of God, just stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. You may say, well, what is happening? Well, one thing is happening is that man, in many cases, wants to be God. Man wants it to be his way. He wants to do what he wants to do. Man is full of lust and covetousness, and if he can make the rules, he will make the rules so that they will say that whatever he does is right. And he can keep on changing the rules, and thus he becomes his own idol god, and the God who truly is God to him is nobody, and then he begins to mislead many people. I say to you, my brother, my sister, stay with the word. That's what Peter is saying here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I pray that you will read 2 Peter chapter 1. Read 2 Peter chapter 1. Now is a time. Yes, they're going to say you're fundamentalist. They're going to call you all kinds of names because they want to develop a mainstream, quote unquote, acceptable religion that's acceptable to them, but that varies from the Word of God. And so you will have to make a choice. You will have to make a choice to believe God or believe them. But listen to what Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Therefore, the word of God is in no way supposed to come from the will of man. Again, here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, Peter says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost really wrote the Bible. The Holy Ghost really wrote the scriptures. And he finished them. They are not to be added to. That's why these people today who would tell you that, well, the Lord showed me this and the Lord showed me that, and we can change it, they have to be liars. Because God has written his word. He has written the Holy Bible. And we have the Holy Bible. Man can try to make things whatever he wants to make. And you see how things are going as people are bringing all kinds of sin and abominations in to God's church. Because man wants to do what man wants to do. But remember what Peter said here in 2 Peter chapter 2, particularly here now in verses 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, I don't have the right to say what the scripture means because it means that to me. I must search the scriptures, and then I must rightly divide them. Some people say, well, it says this. I think it means this. I think it means that. My job is to search the scriptures and to rightly divide the scriptures, using scripture to interpret scripture, using God's word to interpret God's word. Again, here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Peter says very clearly, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That's why I try to stay right on the word. Now, you will find people preaching and interpreting things in many different ways. I'm not trying to criticize them. I'm just trying to say what God has said. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So if a man decides that he wants to make the scripture what he wants it to be, that's not right. If a woman decides that she wants to make the scripture what she wants it to be, that's not right, regardless of who they are, pastor, pope, bishop, or whatever. Because Peter is very clear here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You cannot have a private interpretation of the scripture. It means the same thing. It means what it means. It is what it is. It is not according to interpretation. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So if someone comes and says, well, it's my will and that I think we ought to do this. No, what did God say? What does the scripture say? It's not, I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to do that. What did God say we ought to do? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got our Bible. It is the word of God. It is the word of truth. Peter now goes on in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's read a part of that. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting reading at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring up on themselves swift destruction. Let's read that again. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, this is telling here, again, comes this word privately, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. And you will see this in our generations. You will see this now because people are wanting to create a sanitized form of Christianity that's accepted by the intelligentsia and accepted by the political leaders and accepted by those who call themselves the mainstream, who really want to make and rule the world and say whatever they want to say and have that be law. And so when you encounter that, come back here to 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2 Peter chapter 2. And again, read this. 2 Peter chapter 2 starts out saying, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Verse 2 says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Now, this is a result of these false teachers, and this can happen and is happening now among us. Because you see, here it says in verse 2 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." So though many may follow their ways, don't you follow their ways. You see, people like to follow a crowd. They like to go with the popular opinion. They like to say, "Well, everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too." And so Peter says here, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And you see, because it's going to be a sinful way. They're going to do things, and it's happening right now. And churches are adopting damnable heresies, things that God himself does not want in the church. These are people who say they're Christian. Jesus bought us. That's what Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, "Even denying the Lord that bought," B-O-U-G-H-T, "even denying the Lord that bought them." And you will hear people doing that in some cases, denying that Jesus is God, that he is who he said he is, but saying, "Well, he was a good man." Because they are following a group of people who want to damage Christianity. And so they don't know God's word. I'm here to call you to the word of God and see what God said about this 2,000 years ago. I want to read this once again for you now. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 1. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Even denying the Lord that bought them," that's B-O-U-G-H-T, "and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Let's read it once again. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Verse 2 says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And now reading verses 3 and following of 2 Peter chapter 2. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and Peter just runs it right down, showing from Scripture, from the history of God's working with people, that God does not accept sin, but that his judgment comes against sin. Talks about how difficult it is for those who are just and righteous to experience all the sin going on. And so he talks about Lot. God delivered Lot. It says, though in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 2, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Don't you feel that way today? When you see all the sin that they have right out and open in the public, when you see all the evil that they are embracing, that they're calling right, they're calling wrong right, and they're calling right wrong, doesn't it vex you? That's the way Lot was vexed. And so we have in our society now some of the very same things that they were going through. And I come to call you to stay with the Word. Stay right with the Word. Stay right in the Word. Preach the Word. That's why I call this light to guide our feet, authentic Christian ministry, because it's the Word, the Word, the Word, and we will stay right on the Word. It will not be man's word, but it will be God's word, because God himself authored the Bible through the Holy Ghost. And we are seeing now a withdrawal from it because covetous and people full of lust and covetousness don't want to be holy. They want to do what they want to do, but they want their evil to be called right. And it is not right. I call you also to turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 1, we see a similar thing that the Apostle Paul says. You see, you don't follow man, you follow God. Now, if you don't follow them, they'll put you out of their group, out of their denomination, out of their framework, because many of them are high-powered people, and they can do that. And if you don't suck up their ungodly philosophy, they will put you out. But you must be willing to suffer that if you want to be true to God. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him, R-E-I-G-N. If you're willing to suffer with him, then you will reign with him. But as Peter talked about how God, and Peter embraces that concept of hell, how God sent to hell the angels who rebelled. You see, God does not play. And he most certainly will send to hell human beings who rebel against him. In Galatians chapter 1, listen to this. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 24. So Paul is very clear here in Galatians chapter 1. You preach the gospel, and anyone who doesn't preach it, he said, let him be accursed. Anyone who doesn't preach the gospel, let him be accursed. Anyone who doesn't preach the true gospel, let him be accursed. That's why we need to make sure we stay on the word, right on the word, right in the word. You cannot, you must not handle this word of God callously. You can bring damnation and curse upon yourself. You must handle this word properly. So if you're a young minister, regardless of what others say, get the word of God and don't let it go. No matter what degrees people have, no matter how many books they've written, no matter how much acclaim they have, no matter how high they've risen in the church, you get the Bible and you hold on to the word. Listen to what Paul says. But though, this is verse 8 now, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9 says, as we said before, So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He goes on to say in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, this is telling. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. If you're going to please man, you can't be the servant of Christ. You cannot please man and God. You must preach the word of Jesus Christ. Paul is very clear here in verse 10, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Goes on in verse 11, he goes on to say, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. This is important, not just for Paul. It's important for us. The gospel that we preach must not be man's gospel. It must not be given to you by a bishop, by a pope, or by somehow official of the church. You have the gospel in the word of God, and that's what you are to preach. Listen to Paul here in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, that's my pledge. I don't care what man says. I'm going to preach what God says. I don't care what man tries to do to me. I'm going to preach what God says preach. Now, and that's what Paul says. He said in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 1, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Every pastor ought to be able to say this. Every preacher ought to be able to say this. That which I preached unto you is not something that man said or gave to me. It is the word of God. If you cannot say that, there is something wrong with your ministry. You say, well, I read Dr. So-and-so, and he said such and such. I'm sorry, my brother. I'm sorry, my sister. Well, Dr. So-and-so was a great preacher. I'm sorry, my brother. I'm sorry, my sister. Listen to what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. You need to be able to make that statement, and it needs to be true. That is a statement that I can make it. I can make that statement, and I always will make that statement. There are people mad at me now because I won't get away from the word of God. Now, they'll say, well, you know, you ought to come talk to this group, because there are groupings now who have gotten away from the word of God. There are people who are doing all kind of sin. They're in all kind of sin. They're in adultery. They're in fornication. They're in homosexuality and every other ungodly thing. And then when you preach what God says, say, then, well, you ought to come talk to them. Why should you go talk to those people who already have gotten away from God's word and are doing abominable things? But you see, that's what the mainstream is. And they are legislating so that they, well, if you preach what God says, we're going to put you in jail. Tell the devil he's a liar. God is able. God is able. God is able. You must. You must believe God. You cannot be a preacher in the 21st century and not believe God, not a true one, because they will do things to you. They will legislate against the word of God. They have already done it. They have legislated against the word of God, and so you have to choose whether or not you're going to believe God and say what God says or say what they say. But you have to have enough power in God, enough faith in God, to stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever the road leads. And so you are called to make a choice. Listen to what Paul says here now in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. First of all, you don't preach what man tells you to preach. The devil is a liar. You don't preach what man tells you to preach. Man wants you to say he's all right. Most of them do. Then he goes on in verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that revelation now, Jesus has included all of that in the Bible in terms of that which is to be called scripture. All scripture now is in the Bible. All scripture, you can say, well, he's revealing things to me too, Reverend. Well, if it's not in the Bible, it is not scripture. You preach what he tells you. Well, I dream this. You preach his word. You preach his word. You can get dreams from many places. I'm not saying that God can't give visions, but in terms of his word, God has already written his holy book and given it to us, and we are to preach it. And some of you have not been taught this. For some of you, this is the first time that you're hearing this, and you're shocked that I would say it. But I have been at this for many, many years, and yes, it has cost me a lot, as I have walked right on past those who would have me lie about what God has said. I'm not talking about preaching the word in a wrongfully divided way. I'm talking about preaching the rightly divided word of God. And when you do that, people will leave you. People will not receive you in many cases. They won't want you. They won't want to hear that, because we're in a society that's full of covetousness and all kinds of lust. And man wants to do what he wants to do. But I'm calling you to preach the word and stand true to the word of God. Paul was a man who had been against the church. But when God called him, when Jesus Christ arrested him, as it were, on the Damascus Road, that event, you see, was what really brought him, turned him around. And he said that he didn't do it after man. He didn't even go up and see the disciples when he first was called. But he just followed what God had given him. I'm calling you, my brother and my sister, to preach the gospel. I don't have any respect for those who don't. And I don't have a lot of friends really among that kind of minister. I'm not some big time guy, because I'm going to stick with the word. Yes. It is going to be rightly divided. It's going to be right, but it's not going to be in the mainstream of getting away from God, full of covetousness and all kinds of evil and stupidity. And I say stupidity because when God says fornication is wrong and you say it's right, then you're calling God a lie. When God says adultery is wrong and you say it's right, you're calling God a lie. When God says homosexuality, the practice of it, is wrong and you say it's right, you are calling God a lie. And thus, I separate from you. And then they say, well, you know, you don't accept this, you don't accept that, because I will not call God a lie, and I trust God to take care of me. I will not call God a lie. The Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And we see plenty of men and women lying, but God cannot lie. But we have plenty of men and women lying. Anybody who decides to come to the word of God and say that what God said is a lie, they are a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. You cannot change the word of God. It's in the Bible. Let's look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, the final chapter in the book of Revelation. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 22. Beginning reading at verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Let me read it again for you, my brothers and my sisters, those of you particularly who are ministers. Verses 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's pretty clear. You don't add to God's word. You don't take away from it. You do not add to God, well, I think that it ought to be this way. And well, I think John got it wrong. And I think Matthew misinterpreted. I went back and I read the Greek. And I think that it ought to be this and it ought to be that. God has transmitted his word to us. And we are to receive his word. And he's very clear here in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, which I read in your hearing once again. 18 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy. Now, let me start back now. Verse 18. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Verses 18 and 19 of Revelation chapter 22. My friend, I call you to authentic Christian ministry. I call you to ministry that is authentic because it is the word of God. It is better to read the word of God and not insert any word of your own than to read part of it and then misstate it with your own words. That is no excuse. We have God's word. Preach the word, teach the word, and whatever this society decides to do, God will judge them. But don't let your judgment be tied up in their ungodly judgment. You see, God delivered Lot, and God will deliver you if you will stay true to him. You have a decision. You can go with them or you can go with him. You can go with them or you can go with him. I will go with God every time. No matter what man says, no matter what woman says, no matter what my daddy says, my mama says, I will go with God every time. I believe God. My mama is not God. My daddy is not God. My wife is not God. My children are not God. I am not God. Regardless of what I think about the Word of God, I'm going to go with the Word of God, because God knows for sure. And even my thoughts in no way approach the veracity of His Word. No matter what I think, I'm going to go with God. And we need preachers and teachers who are going to go with what God says do every time, rightly divided. Oh yes, in the Old Testament, there are things that you have to rightly divide by using the New Testament. There are things and traditions and cultures that God in His New Testament will bring out, you see. But you must do that study. You must do that digging. Well, I don't have time. Well, if you don't have time, don't say it. Just read what God says, but then try to find it in the New Testament too, because you do not want to lead people wrongly. And that's something else that you can do. You can go to the Old Testament and just read things and not divide it rightly, and then lead people wrongly. So you've got to be careful. That's why you must study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. You see, you got to rightly divide His Word. Study, study, study. But you ought to study the Bible first. You see, a lot of times people study other books written about the Bible. Some are right, but some are not correct. And that's where you're going to have to come to the Bible and get the correct interpretation. For the Scripture is of no private interpretation. You remember that we read that in 2 Peter chapter 1? Oh, no, no, you cannot privately interpret. Well, it means this to me, so I'm going to tell my congregation that. No, it's what God says it is, and it means what God's Word says it means, rightly divided. Rightly divided. That's what we need in the 21st century. Men and women strong enough in the Lord, with enough faith in the Lord to stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Authentic Christian ministry. This is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page. Thank you, my friends. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. I ask you in Jesus' name, go back and read those passages that I read. 2 Peter chapters 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapters 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Revelation chapter 22. The last few verses of Revelation chapter 22. Go back and read them. If you want to make sure that you're doing what God wants done, you must read His Word and understand that these things are not cunningly devised fables, but that those apostles, those disciples were eyewitnesses, and they heard the voice. And then we have a more sure proof, you see, a more sure word of prophecy from the prophets who wrote in old time, not by the will of man, but as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word of God is all about. You can mainstream or you can stay with God. It's up to you. But those who get away from God, God Himself will handle them. If you don't believe it, go back and read 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. God be with you, my friends.